Listeners, I've brought in market and trading experts Wise FIFA and Foot Economist to run the rule over a potentially exciting new promotion in FootSwap. We discuss the players and potential team of the knockout stage crash and how to make coins before team of the season by doing nothing. I'm your host Ben, and you'll hear all that and more, including an R9 review from original pod co-host Horace in this week's Foot Weekly Podcast. Hello and welcome to week 29 of the Foot Weekly Podcast. I'm here with regular co-host Foot Economist, getting in nice and early so that I don't forget again. Here he is.
Hello, hello. Hey Ben, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Are you on an Easter break or is that not how it works in the US?
We actually didn't have any time off for Easter. We had our spring break 2 weeks ago though. So
Oh, of course.
Yeah, full on final season now.
So they're not that interested in the crucifixion of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. Don't give you a break.
Evidently not, no.
Enjoy that event. No. So let's move on to our other guest. He's been a regular, well, for the past year and a half probably. He's always here, ready to offer his wise market insights. It is, of course,
Wise good FIFA. To be back,
Wise,
Ben.
Great to
good
have you
to
on.
Be back. I said that because I was leaning back in my chair. That came down, landed right on my foot. Like, my foot was underneath.
I was just thinking, it's not that bad, is it?
this is definitely not a chore.
Yeah, yeah. So, Wise, let's get into what's just happened over the past sort of 24 hours or so, maybe a bit longer by now. The FootSwap kind of promotion has just come out of nowhere. Just sort of summarize for us what exactly it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was great to get some content out of the blue. No pun intended, considering these cards have those blue backgrounds.
Yeah, they are, of course, blue, yeah.
But it's a promotion where they released a squad of, I believe that is 12 new players, that various upgrades to some fan favorites such as Tevez, Ibrahimovic. They moved Payet to central. And the way to unlock these new items in foot is through completing weekly objectives, winning the daily knockout tournament to get these other versions of the foot swap cards. These are pink versions, and you submit them in an SBC. Mirrors kind of what you had to do with the Irish players during foot birthday, as well as what you had to do. It mirrors like a premium SBC requirement. So you got to submit these items, and you get the upgraded players. Really interesting promotion this week.
Yeah, and Jamie, what are your thoughts on the promotion itself in terms of it coming out of the blue? I mean, you must be quite pleased with that, considering we've been keen that the leak issue was cleared up so that we'd have some surprises finally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in general, I was really pleased with the promotion. This is something that we've been asking for in general, you know, content that we can grind out and play and, you know, have something to log on during the week and play for. Mm. This is exactly the kind of thing that a lot of us in the community have been asking for. I was really excited to see it. As you said, Ben, I was really excited to see that it didn't leak. It was an absolute shock when they released it. I think it wasn't even the regular release time that it came out.
Midnight UK, yeah.
It was midnight UK, which was, I mean, they really just, I mean, it's not like it's a super heavy hitting promotion in terms of like these cards going to be game changing, but I mean, it's definitely something that we're going to be able to do. The promotion runs for another, I think, 22 days, as most of you probably be hearing it. So really excited about that.
It's about 3 weeks, isn't it, in total?
Right. And there's, I mean, while we're on that, there's speculation that the team of the season, or at least the team of the season voting maybe, will start after this promotion dries up. That timeline is, there's theories that that's going to be, you know, coincide with the start of team of the season.
Yeah, it would kind of make sense. And that's almost like a new month, isn't it? Pretty much. Well. So that would work quite well. So when we're talking about the promotion itself, the good thing about this is it's all gameplay orientated. So for example, winning the daily knockout this week will be the way to earn your first card. I imagine there'll be daily objectives maybe which give you these, and we'll definitely have SBCs, I think it says in the promotional information. The only thing about this is that you seem to at the moment only be able to, well, at least EA have said in a tweet that you'll only be able to get 12 of these pinkish cards that you can submit for the premium players. First one's Negredo, and the next one that we know is coming out is Mendy. So that does restrict your options, because you're only able to unlock a certain number, and the fact that the very top items are 11, so you've got the likes of Sanchez, Modric and Tevez costing you 11 of these. Yeah. That is obviously going to be, I don't know, I imagine that's going to cause some consternation amongst the foot community, and judging by Twitter, Foot Economist, as you'll well know, there's been quite a lot of negativity from some of the bigger names about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's always something I think we saw, especially with the Foot birthday promotion, how we weren't able to complete all of the throwback players people got frustrated with. But I think the attitude towards this is a little bit different. I think maybe we've adjusted to it, and we're sort of seeing that, okay, yeah, obviously we can't, you know, get all of these cards, or the intention wasn't for us to get all of these cards. And now I think it's a fun SBC, or it's a fun promo rather, because you really do have to you have to pick and choose. And I think part of the fun of it is choosing the ones that you're going to do. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you can break it down in terms of, you know, we can talk about some of the players that are actually competitive that would actually make it into your team. So someone like a Sanchez, who has a nice central card now, or maybe a Modric, or maybe even that's Insigne, are they going to be players that are going to make it into your team? And if not, then you can look at it from a different side of the coin, which is, you know, which cards are going to have the best SBC value for your foot swap item, sort of bang for your buck, if you will.
And Wise, were you listening the other week when Foot Economist and I were saying how this Foot birthday, kind of, you can only pick a certain number of players, could pave the way for the introduction of sort of draft style packs next year, or SBCs? Is that something you could get behind, especially seeing this promotion? It kind of does suggest that we'll see more of this.
Yeah, I would totally love to see something like that. I was listening to that part of the pod, and I think that'd be great for a lot of different game modes, and I hope they test it out eventually in like draft. I know that that's something that a lot of people are saying in the FIFA community. They'd love to see, you know, some new draft style rewards. And if you're able to do that and bring that outside of SBCs, I think there's a lot of utility for this in Foot. Just a new dynamic that they do in other games that I'd love to see in this game as well. Keep it fresh, considering, I mean, we've had the same pack mechanics since the game's inception in FIFA 10.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what I really like about this promotion is the way that people have to think about which player they're going to get. I'm going to see when I come up against a player, he's going to have picked, I don't know, Tevez, for example, and not many people are going to do that. So there's a bit of added intrigue around sort of why you might make certain selections. You'll probably get a minority of players picking certain players, so it kind of makes that card very unique. Whereas with certain SBCs, you feel like certain players are just kind of doing all of them. And certainly that's the case with the sort of Premier League. These kind of options are also quite interesting in the way that they've been laid out, especially with Tevez being an 11 player exchange. He's not the best card to be valued at the same kind of price as Sanchez and Modric. Just seems slightly bizarre. I mean, his stats aren't that amazing.
Maybe a bit of a sentimental play, possibly.
Yeah, nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but, you know, Ibrahimovic is as sentimental. Tevez has only got 3-star, 3-star as well, so it's a bit of a strange one, to be honest. I doubt many people are going to be doing that.
I agree. I'm going to jump in just real quick, but the only like bright side I see on that is of having Tevez up there is for like a collector's point of view, or just if you want a unique card. I mean, Sanchez, Modric, Ibrahimovic for that matter, are all going to get special cards, upgraded cards that already exist in the game that are just about at that same rating, if not higher. So I guess Tevez could be like a nice play if you're looking for a new style of card. But I agree, the fact that his pace isn't up there and his utility isn't up there means that it's mainly a sentimental pick.
Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't think personally that I'm going to be, you know, using any of these players in my team. And we can dive into some of the stats and maybe why someone like Sanchez might not fit into a team later. But, you know, if I'm just going for a pure SBC play, I actually did a quick breakdown of like the actual value of these guys, and which one, if you were to get all 12 foot swap items, which ones would sort of yield the most value, if you will, if you were to then turn around and use those players that you redeem for an SBC. And sort of the most valuable option appears to be to redeem it for the 4 foot swap items for the Koke, the 87 rated Koke, and then 7 foot swap items for the 90 rated Ibra, and then use one of them for a premium gold pack. That's going to yield you about 95,000 coins worth of SBC value. If you were, I mean, obviously those cards are untradeable, but if you were to then take them and just turn them into, say, an icon SBC or something of the sort, that's essentially the equivalent value. And I do have a tweet on my Twitter account if you are, you know, interested in seeing breakdown.
Yeah, if you want to see that, he's really desperate for followers. So if you drop him a follow there, that would also be greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
Moving on to kind of, you mentioned in there Ibrahimovic. I think he's a really interesting choice because actually he got an inform as well this week, and we'll talk more about the team of the week later, but a kind of good-ish upgrade. One of the interesting things is, of course, a lot of people use that Alessandrini card, so you're going to have a decent sort of link-up option. His nation obviously isn't ideal, but the fact that you can get him in through that Alessandrini card, I reckon he's quite a viable player for 7 foot swap cards as well, and the fact that obviously he's got good submission value.
Right.
There's been a lot of special MLS cards this year as well.
Yeah.
The combination of those things actually makes him a very good look if you're not interested in the other cards.
I agree, especially from the standpoint, I mean, as you said, he has the actually the best foot swap, you know, value for like per item, as you said. So, you know, even if you were find out that he's awful in game, then you could just go ahead and turn around and you could be, you know, safely know that you had a good deal. Another interesting one, Ben, and you were saying this off pod, so I want to give credit to you, that Henderson could be really interesting for player of the month kind of potential. You know, with Salah looking like he's probably going to get the player of the month. You know, an 84 rated Henderson could be super valuable, especially if EA count that as a special card.
Yeah.
So, you know, something to keep in mind. Maybe you want to delay, you actually, doing the SBC to see if the foot swap SBC that is, you know, redeeming your cards to see if Salah wins the player of the month.
Yeah, and actually, if you've got, I know a few people like me might have ended up with an untradeable one to watch Salah. He's someone that at 6 foot with high. He's probably a decent player to pick up if you're looking at someone at the lower end of it. I know Wise Bulldog the Owl Cater is someone that you were possibly thinking of doing yourself.
Yeah, I know. I really like the fact that he's back at striker. I remember when he picked up all those informs at the end of the Serie A season last year. He had some amazing cards at striker, and too bad he's not. Too bad he's still not at Lazio to link up with those Immobile special cards. But at Monaco, I think he can still do some damage. Really good 4-star skill moves, 4-star weak foot standout, and he's just such a rapid player in game. Something about him for me always gives me trouble. Like at the beginning of the game when I faced him, don't see him much anymore. But hopefully, I'll see a couple more. I'll probably be doing him as well.
And of course, you can now go for that narrow formation and get Balde, Diaw, Keita, and Mane in the same team, which is a frightening prospect for sure. And on top of that, of course, one of the lower rated players I wanted to mention is Wendell, because actually he has a really good kind of niche filling ability in a sense, because poor value in terms of what Foot Economist was talking about. But actually, in terms of left backs in the Bundesliga, the only other option, if we're being realistic, is Alba. I wouldn't even touch any of the others.
Yeah, it's especially useful if you're running that center mid foot birthday Alba and you want another left back option.
That's very true. And also, obviously, being Brazilian is of course helpful, you know, if you want to do a hybrid or whatever, helps out. As you say, the other options, not particularly excited by, even Modric. He's one of those weird players that just never feels like he fits the foot meta, you know?
Yeah.
And Sanchez, I don't know, I've never heard someone be particularly enthusiastic about Sanchez's cards on FIFA in the last few years. Because he should be strong, he should be agile, he should be decently fast, but actually his acceleration is way too high for his sprint speed. His 3-star weak foot is, for me, a huge turnoff this year, and his high work rates kind of leave him out of position a lot. So I don't know whether either of you would disagree on that, but I'm for 11 of those, I'm not so sure he's the best option, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, I would agree.
He might be decent go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sorry, stepping on your toes there. I would agree. It'd be interesting, though, the only pause that I give to that is just it'd be interesting to try him out as like a central center attacking mid roll or something like that, because when he's on the wing, I totally agree that he gets caught out. And I mean, I doubt I'll do this card as well with like turning in all of my chips for that. But if anybody does do it, anybody listening to the pod, hit me up. I'd love to know what he's like as like a central center attacking mid.
And do we know whether we're going to get loans of these or not?
I mean, I wouldn't think so. Yeah. I think they sort of put all their cards on the table. I mean, they have all the SBCs essentially available right now.
For Economist, are there any others from a playing perspective you might select?
Honestly, no, but if I could, in place for my opinion on a player, say that I would not recommend doing the packs, I would do that. I just overall, their value for money is pretty poor compared to what you could get with the SBC turn-in value.
Yeah, I agree. Also, just to mention that I've got the monthlies 88 Insigne, who's obviously not exactly the same stats as that card, but my God, he's bad for me. So I would not recommend the central card, even though maybe he's actually got slightly higher finishing, so he might be better. But again, it's that 3-star weak foot. I mean, we've talked about this before, and you obviously found out, Foot Economist. I keep calling you Foot Economist in this episode. I don't know why. But yeah, Jamie, you obviously found out about, well, we kind of re-dredged up the whole thing about weak foot, and, you know, 3-star weak foot is a huge difference.
Exactly.
I wouldn't recommend it at all. Unless the player is unbelievable, like you're talking like Salah, unbelievable kind of thing. I mean, we haven't had the promotion run through yet, but what do we think of it overall?
I'm enjoying it at the moment. Like we touched on, I loved the fact that they gave us some new content, and I think that this is something that they could carry on a lot through FIFA 19. We could see this like maybe as like a every month they give us something like this. I mean, that's tentative, and let's like that's being really optimistic with type of content we were guaranteed this week or this year. But this could be a really useful tool to incorporate getting people to play the game, incorporate people getting to do the weekly objectives, which were a little bit of letdowns this year for what kind of people were thinking coming out of Foot 17. And if they keep doing something like this, I know they're tentative about flooding the market with special items, but this gives people like a lot of reason to come back and play the game. I know I'm excited about trying to unlock a couple of these people, you know, try to beat some people in the DKT to get these cards. So I'm at like a 6.57 right now. It would be a straight 10 if they would have given us like more options to get the cards needed to turn into the SBC. That's where I'm at, really. I just, the fact that they only gave us 12 just tapers my excitement a little, like most people, but good start.
And FootConners, why do you think they've done that? Because for me, I can kind of see it as them experimenting, wanting to kind of give people that, force people to make that choice. But a lot of people don't seem to quite understand, like almost think like, why would you restrict people? Like, why, from a sort of economic perspective, why would they not want people to be able to obtain as many of the of these things as they could to do all of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it adds, to a certain degree, it adds uniqueness, if you will, or like it adds a perceived increased value to a player that, you know, maybe only you or you went out of your way to go pick up the Ibra, for example, and, you know, no one else did him because they all cashed in on Sanchez, and you've got this Ibra card who, you know, for some reason plays like a god, right? Like, I think that maybe is where they're going with it. And maybe it's also to stay away, because, I mean, with promotions like these where you can just sort of grind them out, you know, there is the danger that everyone sort of starts to build these, you know, very similar meta teams if they all do the same cards, or they all have the same cards, and then, you know, further down the line we figure out that, you know, well, the Kieta card is like ridiculous, and now everyone puts them in their team because everyone was able to get them. You know, like I think that might be the sort of the danger that they're trying to stay away from. But yeah, long term, like I don't have too much of a problem with it. I think some valid criticisms of the promotion could be the way they're earning it. We haven't seen too many of them so far, but we have seen that you're going to earn them. You can earn them with that Negredo and that.
It does feel a bit of a kick in the teeth to players who say can't win the daily knockout, for example. I've got to say there's an interesting kind of thing in terms of direction of Foot, which in the past Foot's been criticized for being pay to win. I'd argue that it was never pay to win, it was always trade to win, because actually the amount you'd have to put into the game value wise previously to actually get out like the same thing you'd get through good trading was just not comparable. I mean, it was so much more difficult. The top players were always the best traders. I mean, obviously, at a certain point, they're also the best at buying coins. But we'll leave that there. But the point being that back then, you know, it was kind of a combination of pay to win, trade to win. You couldn't play, really, unless you played loads of games to get yourself a really, really good team. It would be really grindy. Whereas now, I would argue that the game is heavily skewed towards playing to win. The other things are very important as well. But for these, you almost feel like it's hard on players who aren't the best. And I know many of them, you know, many of our listeners aren't players who get into the weekend league. And they're basically not going to be able to get Sanchez because of that.
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, yeah, we don't know how all the other ones are going to pan out. We don't know how many of them they're going to make into daily knockout requirements.
There's two already, right? So
right, yeah. So there's at least two. So the top tier guys are sort of out of the question.
Gone if
you
already,
can't
yeah.
win the, which is a bummer. You know, that's definitely a bummer. Maybe that's an added incentive for some of the, maybe some of the more average players to up their skill. Maybe get on some tutorials from #Boris. But
basically, what your point here is, get good, basically.
More or less, yeah. Without the negative connotation that comes with that saying. But, I mean, overall, for me, if I had to give this rating promotion, or if I had to give this promotion a rating, I would probably say it's like an 8.5 out of 10. I really hope this is the direction that EA continues to go. I think it's important we have something to do during the week.
And I think you made an interesting point, Wise, about possibly this is how they could take it forward. Maybe they could do a selection of players every month. I think that would be excellent next year to do that, especially early on in the game. You know, players like Wendell, players like Balde Diao would be game changers in the early game, less so now. But yeah, I really think it's a great idea. I think that they need to push forward with this. And we'll see a lot more action around playing to obtain players, obviously, through the team of the season and all that stuff that's going to happen. So that's quite exciting. I feel like it's probably time to move on to that, actually. We're in that kind of pre-team of the season, post-foot birthday market, I suppose, and you guys are the people to talk to about that. But before we get team of the season, there are a couple of things on the agenda. Obviously, foot swap. And then we've also got, I think we had a, was it team of the knockout stage last year as well?
Yep.
With Ronaldo's excellent performance in the recent game, another round of the other leg to come, obviously, so we don't know what's going to happen there, but it feels like we're building up to quite a good team that we could be seeing there, and with potential SBCs as well. Is that right from last year?
Yeah, the team of the knockout stage SBC last year was actually a pretty popular SBC. It dropped on April 21st. I can't actually remember if that was after the quarterfinals or the semifinals. I think it might have been the quarterfinals. But after after whatever round it was, they essentially dropped a team of the knockout stage, featuring the likes of Ronaldo last year. And essentially, this SBC was similar to a Team of the Week SBC in the sense that you turned in an 82 rated squad with a Team of the Week player and then an 83 rated squad to go along with that. And it was actually something that pulled the market down quite a bit, because a lot of people turned in a ton of buying power to, you know, try their luck at getting that Ronaldo, you know, the Team of Knockout card, and some of the other ones that were in there. And I would imagine it'd be similar to this year, as everything's pointing towards Ronaldo getting a Team of the Knockout card and maybe some other high-profile players. So definitely something to keep an eye on, especially because the market tends to get weak knees before Team of the Season.
Yeah, and it was quite interesting that you were saying that it's Team of the Week item that's included last year, at least. So you didn't have the same pressure on the Team of the Knockout stage items themselves, which we saw for Path to Glory.
Right. Yeah, we saw that with Wonder Watch 2 this year as well.
So it should force the sort of cheaper ones really, really cheap,
right?
Which happened last year.
Right. Yeah, I think there was a good way to hedge against the fact that even the lowest rated cards, like the ones that were like 76 overall, shoot up when in situations like this, types of cards that are required for SBCs, they shoot up regardless of ratings. But I think it will be nice, and I think EA will continue this trend this year with it being a Team of the Week player or a Team of the Knockout or Team of the Group Stage player as a required SBC item, just to keep prices pretty level across the board.
Yeah, definitely. And last year we saw a decent drop in player prices. I mean, is this something we should sort of recommend to people overall? I know over the past week you might have seen my personal Twitter, I've sold up. I'm sure you guys probably have as well. I guess it's just that kind of time of year, isn't it, when you start to think Team of the Season's on the horizon and you don't want to kind of lose out and lose buying power. But one thing I wanted to mention to you, Jamie, because it's something we've kind of talked about before, the amount of coins that people are committing into untradeable things. I mean, I've played a ton of baby icon teams where people have clearly just smashed that base icon SBC and ended up with a pretty average selection of base icons. It's very clever from EA because, of course, it means lots of people will be encouraged to spend FIFA points because actually they're not cash rich, basically. But yeah, I mean, do you think we can actually be in for as cheap a Team of the Season as we've seen, despite it seems like everyone's more wealthy?
And I think you're actually onto something there, Ben. If you go into any daily knockout tournament game or any weekend league team or weekend league game, you'll immediately be greeted likely by a team that has more than three icons. And a lot of times, as you said, Ben, they're the baby icons that people probably got from those that SBC, and you know that would lead someone you to believe that if you were just sort of smart with your money right now, or your coins, so to speak, and maybe you sold up, you know, went into Team of the Season and Team of the Knockout stage, and maybe some of these promotions we're going to talk about in a second, with more cash heavy instead of player heavy, that you would be in a good spot for Team of the Season. As you said, with the prices dropping, and sort of the way that I'm playing it right now is I've actually sold up a couple of my players, the ones that are like higher priced, and I'm essentially just holding out and hoping that we get this World Cup DLC sometime soon, and that will sort of occupy me until we get Team of the Season, or if we get Team of the Season even before that World Cup DLC. I'm sort of convincing myself that I don't need to buy a super team right now because this World Cup DLC is coming, or I can just sort of muddle my way through these daily knockout challenges with an average team and win these foot swap players that I can then turn in and make some coins that way. And I don't really need to do it through Weekend League until Team of the Season.
Right. Yeah, and Wise, what's your kind of MO at the moment? Have you sold up? Are you kind of using a cheaper team for a bit?
Yeah, I'm definitely using a cheaper team, and I think that that was motivated, like you said a little earlier, Ben, by the fact that a lot of people have dumped some coins into untradables this year. I was never, I'm still not the biggest fan of untradables, like relying on untradables. I still like having cards that I could sell off and like not actually lose that 100K or like have it stagnant. You know, I could keep that liquid. I like that liquidity in my items. But at the moment, I am, I'm pretty bare bones in the club. I have a couple of nice untradables, just given them some utility. Never thought I would use like the Pirlo and the League SBC Giovinco. So I'm keeping those items on the front. They're leading my team at the moment. But quality items, I gotta echo what Jamie said, because I'm trying to keep my coin balance high and trying to stay disciplined in terms of spending it on SBCs and packs, because I'm with you and think that the team of the season could be relatively cheap this year. And so if I can get some, I can have some great buying power going in there. I could play with players that, I mean, are what the whole point of foot is. You know, if I'm going to be able to snag that team of the season Salah or that team of the season Immobile, like all these cards that I'm looking forward to, would love to see those cards on my side that won't be
and
as
the way
expensive.
The way my kind of foot calendar has always worked is you enjoy, you know, team of the season's good fun. More recently you've got interesting foot birthday stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of a bit of a period. Now we've got team in the knockout stage, which is a nice distraction. But actually, I'm quite happy to, you know, sell off my team at this kind of point, buy some sort of novelty players, some that I know won't lose me money, and then also some untradables I picked up, like Kaka, for example, bring those guys in. And then the added bonus at the moment is I'm completing the Ronaldo SBC, so trying to do that cheaply, etc., is also kind of something which consumes a bit of the this time of year, and actually I think it's quite nice to have a little bit of a break from using like overpowered players and just kind of see what it's like using a sort of lesser team. I won the recent foot swap player relatively comfortably with my budget team, so I think there's a lot to be said still for some budget players, although it definitely isn't as easy as it once was to use kind of underpowered cards, if you like.
No, I agree.
For the record, I'm never selling my second in form Lozano. I don't care how much liquidating I do.
It's only 50K. I'm sure you can absorb 50K or whatever. Foot Economist needs followers and coins. title of episode. Yeah. Well, actually, I think the title of the episode should be how to essentially make coins without doing anything at all. Because I think if you don't spend any coins on untradables from now until the end of the season, you essentially make coins, because you're I guess relative buying power is greater than most people's. So, I think that should be the takeaway from this week. If people have they've heard on the podcast,
if you were to sell your entire team now and turn off your console and come back in 2 months, you would find that you are very cash rich and you would have a lot of buying power compared to what you used to have.
Yep. It's a seller's market at the moment. You could get some really good deals. Mm-hmm. Wait for that overnight period at the moment. Come back, buy the stuff during the lightning rounds, and you're sitting pretty for the rest of FIFA.
Yeah, definitely. So quickly, it's not kind of trading related. It's not that trading related, but the Path to Glory thing that came out, people were kind of slightly confused about it in terms of what it actually meant. It turned out, I think it didn't mean anything at all, really, Jamie.
Yeah, I think it's really just a design change more than anything. And it essentially just means when the players, if a Path to Glory player gets selected in the 23-man World Cup squad that, you know, they take to Russia, his country takes to Russia, then, you know, basically I don't think it changes anything in terms of whether or not that player can get upgrades when he gets a man of the match or whatever, because I actually think, like, if for some reason, if somehow that player, if a player that didn't get selected somehow, like, plays in, like, a friendly or something like that, and they decide to give him, an upgrade or something, like, a weird scenario like that, like, I still think they could get an upgrade if they somehow made it into a Man of the Match batch or, like, a Team of the Week or something like that. But I think it just means they're going to get a design change when they get selected, and then obviously they'd be eligible to get upgrades during the World Cup. I don't think it means a whole lot. It's really just a design change.
Yeah, cool. Glad we got that sorted. Something that does potentially mean a lot is Player of the Month, Salah. You messaged me saying he's going to be dirty. Do you want to elaborate on that slightly?
Yeah, he's going to be good. Essentially, he's got the 92 rated player of the month right now. If they follow the same upgrade pattern as they did with Aguero, he'll go to a 93. I'm hoping they'll just do, you know, a 94 just for the heck of it.
I mean, they've played pretty fast and loose with his ratings before.
Yeah, they have. They've broken the rules with his card before, so you really have no idea what the heck they're going to do with him.
He kind of does break the rules, doesn't he? So.
Yeah, that's fair.
But apart from that, you know, are we close enough that you can still make investments? Would you risk it at this stage? Would you just say sell everything and don't bother actually making investments? I mean, actually, sorry, just to kind of expand that further, this is potentially quite a good time to make investments, because if you've sold up, you're probably going to have a fair amount of cash sitting around, so you could potentially do something like that with it.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, it's not like a clear and cut month for Player of the Month. Sun's also in with a shout. It's not like everyone's got their like laser pointed focus on these potential Player of the Month Salah investments. So yeah, I think you could do it. The tough thing though is like some of the blanket investments that used to be really, you know, that used to be awesome for this kind of stuff are really expensive right now because of those 82, 385 SBCs that got reinvigorated again and the Icon SBC. So a lot of those really good ones that you could do with the Premier League stuff are the blanket ones are kind of expensive right now. So unless you're going to risk it on some of like the Egyptian requirements or a special card for Salah, which are already pretty expensive, it's kind of tough. And honestly, in terms of like value for coins, it's probably not going to be worth it unless you have a Player of the Month Salah already.
I was going to echo that.
And actually, talking about all this stuff, one thing that I've certainly been wondering myself, and I'm sure people will be, is when are we going to see your kind of prices of 83s, 84s, and even the higher rated cards as well? Sort of what I'd now class as your kind of discard 88 rated player, for example. When do we think they'll kind of drop down? Because if we then get the team in the knockout stage, I guess they'll be inflated a bit through that, and we've still got the base icon SBC probably up until the team in the knockout stage comes out.
Yeah, I'll jump on this one. They've really raised their bottom line in foot this year, and I feel like that's what EA really wanted to do. Was a complaint from us in the past has been that it gets to a point like around this point in FIFA, packs really don't have that much value anymore. I mean, you in the past, if you pulled like an 82, 83 player, I mean, what, he was sitting at like 1,000 coins tops, so you couldn't really get your value out of it. And they've done a pretty good job with that base icon SBC to raise it up now. Although I think going forward, like, they've done it almost too well, to a sense, because these players are really at a high premium. Like, I wouldn't touch a lot of these 82 to 85 players. And the only time where they really get low is when EA release big time lightning rounds. Like, if team of the group stage, or not group, team of the group stage, my bad, let me retract. If team of the knockout stage comes by and there's a decent squad and they release some lightning rounds, you could see a little bit of a dip, regardless of like that SBC requirement, depending on the ratings, they keep that tame. But I personally think that team of the season, when they start dropping those, people start opening those packs because people have hordes of those stacked up. Or when they start releasing those ultimate packs, those 125k, 100k packs, that's when we'll finally see some relief in those players' prices.
Great, Wise. Yeah, Jamie, have you got anything quickly to add to that?
No, I think Wise nailed it on the head.
The wise man himself. And so, Jamie, we're going to have to say goodbye to you, unfortunately, because you've got to dash off. What are you up to?
I got a little footy match.
Okay. Bicycle minimum.
Yeah, there you go.
That's fair. Yeah, I'll see what I can do. The goals are small, though, so, you know, they're not regulation. Yeah,
excuses. You know.
Getting the excuses already.
Oh, I don't want to start the excuses, but, you know, it is what it is.
Thanks very much for joining us again, Jamie, as always. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure as always. Bye-bye.
So it's goodbye to Jamie, but not to you, listener, because coming up in the second half, we take a look at Team of the Week 29, review R9, and look at a mini R9 for 20-odd-K. Quickly though, just a note to say there probably won't be a pod next week. It's already looking very busy. However, I am still investigating various potentially exciting funding options ahead of what could be a busy period with Team of the Season and World Cup mode, so we won't want to miss a week. As always, do subscribe on all your podcast platforms. Links below the embedded podcast on Foothead, and get in touch, footweekly@mail.com and @footweeklypod. Back in just a second. Well, so we've lost one host in the break, but Wise is still with us. Did you enjoy your little break there?
Yeah, it was nice. Got to catch up on my water. Got to stay hydrated. Make sure you guys are staying hydrated.
Yeah, always important to stay hydrated when you're about to tuck into what is a pretty interesting team of the week. Not the strongest, but up top, there's no denying that that's two pretty strong cards in Aubameyang and Lewandowski. I mean, Aubameyang is pretty frightening. I'm not looking forward to playing him. But Ibrahimovic is another sort of big striker up there, and he looks interesting. He's obviously not got the same upgrade that foot swap item has. In fact, the foot swap upgrades were slightly strange in that some of the lower rated cards didn't seem to get the full upgrade. They only got a sort of initial inform upgrade, whereas Ibrahimovic got a double upgrade, and a few others did as well. So this Ibrahimovic is a lot slower. If you want to try one out, I guess maybe buy him and sell him sort of thing. But Cuadrado, on the other hand, looks like a potentially exciting card. I mean, I've used his 82 and 83, and they were both very good. It was 81. And actually, Kadira as well, his teammate, also a solid item. But they both have their flaws. You know, they're not by any means kind of complete midfielders or wide players. Ali looks like he could be a complete midfielder, on the other hand. Very nice card, especially with Shadow, very complete. Perisic is someone I know you're a fan of, you'll probably talk about in a second, having used his 87 a lot, I believe. And two very decent goalkeepers in the squad, Consigli, and you mentioned to me just earlier, Adan. But there was another Spaniard you wanted to point out, actually, could have a very nice team of the season, I'd say.
Looking at that center mid, Luis Alberto from Lazio, his price should stay, or his price is hovering kind of low right now, but regardless, he might not be the strongest player with only that 63 physical. But he got crazy upgrades throughout the year in his passing and dribbling. So his team of the season is going to be in the mid-80 pace range, have like high 80 shooting, and then just off the charts dribbling and passing with a nice physical. I could really see him doing some damage or just being like a nice utility player to kind of diversify your Serie A squad, you know, have fun with a little.
And he's got that upgrade to 4-star, 4-star as well, doesn't he, say?
Right, yeah, and pretty good work rates too, that high-low, putting him in that center attacking mid, maybe center forward-esque role. I mean, he could really do some damage up there, I think, at the top of the box.
Yeah, and another Spaniard I just wanted to point out was Hernandez, who's the Malaga centre-back. He looks like actually he could be a really strong centre-back option for a league which doesn't have many pacey centre-backs. Yeah, he's not the strongest and he's not the most aggressive, but his pace will do the job, and he's actually basically maxes out all his defending stats with Shadow, so as well as having sort of very good short passing and agility, because he is a sort of almost... I think he used to play right back or something, so he's got that kind of mobility to him. But yeah, tell me more about that 88 Perisic, because, I mean, obviously you've used the 87, and I'm a big fan as well, but this Perisic card, I think he's the kind of player that, yeah, we said just save coins maybe at this point, but you might want to just splash a bit to try him out.
Right. I mean, of course, the point of making coins is to buy the players you like, and Perisic is one of those. Perisic is one of those bad boys with that. I mean, all those above 80 stats where it matters. I mean, the fact I like his shooting and that 5-star weak foot combination was just lethal for me. Like, it just gave me tremendous confidence around the box with him, especially when you get in those tight situations and you need to hit a tight finesse shot. Even if it's not on his strong foot, you can feel confident with it. I really liked his ability to like shrug off defenders too when you're sending a through ball, and out muscle that player and get around the defenders and just put in like a low driven. I know that got nerfed a little, but with the way Perisic plays, he is going to be a tank up top. I'm really excited because that means I have a little bit more freedom on my other wing when I play players or at striker, because he's like a big enough target man in a sense too. You can whip some crosses over, but you can also have a speedy guy to match up with him to like really give your defense or your opponent's defense some trouble.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've given me a little Perisic review there, but actually, I know there was a player that you were saying, as we were talking about R9, you wanted to give us a bit of a cheaper option as a striker, because the guy that you've got, I believe, is sort of in the 20-30k range.
Right.
Tell us more about this mystery R9-esque.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be quite R9, but what does he have to offer?
He's not quite not the R9, but he is balding, I guess you could give him that.
Okay.
But
so he's got the minimal hair.
Right, the minimal hair, but Valeri Germain, the striker from Marseille, he picked up a team of the group stage item, I believe, or he picked up a man of the match during the Europa League play. And so he's got an 85 overall card that is around the low 20s K range. But his long shots, like the thing that stands out to me for some reason, are his long shots from outside the box. His finesse shot just would go in like no other. I know I just touched on that a little with Perisic, so you guys, if you ever come up against me, know that I like taking those long shots. Can't resist. But he's got 99 agility, or which is a great stat on a card that already has really solid heading and great stamina. The chem style I picked him up with is Hunter, and that was just to, you know, preserve some value. Players with Hunter have the most value, but if you are looking to mix it up, like if you get him on a basic or whatnot, if you want to give him some extra pace, I'd recommend the Hawk card, because with the Hawk card, he gets that 90 pace, and then his long shots go up to 93, and his shot power is at 95, and his positioning's at 99. Which I love on my attackers, because for some reason, or like, because I need all the help I can get up top with the CPU controlling other players. So I feel like 99 positioning gives me that extra oomph on rebounds, or, you know, just lucky headers and scrambles in the box that can really decide the DKT tournament or some foot champs games, if you will.
What I really like about him as well from a physical perspective, yeah, he's quick and he's got a great shot, and he's agile, but he does have 96 jumping as well with the Hawk Chem style and 88 stamina, as well as sort of 79 aggression. So the combination of those things as well as kind of 70 strength as well. I mean, he's actually a very well-rounded player, and he's not someone I just hadn't really spotted him at all. I know of him and I've seen him appear in these kind of squads, but I've never really thought of trying him out myself. And I mean, why is it? That probably kind of wraps up your review, but I do like the way you've managed to bring me a player who also has finesse shot trait, we should add, tries to beat defensive line, and we could probably, I know you like to like your dynamite discard on the Foot Weekly podcast, we could probably call him, even though he's a team of the group stage player, at least for a 85 rated special item, he kind of is almost the dynamite discard.
Yep. My favorite.
Exactly. And yeah, as I said, kind of comparable to Ronaldo, not obviously Ronaldo, but maybe I have to try him out. And once I've finally got the R9, who we'll hear about in just a second, we can see how they compare.
Yeah.
Wise, thank you very much for joining us. It's been great to have you. We'll look forward to having you on again soon.
Yeah, I would love that. Always a pleasure being on here. Love to be a part of the pod, and definitely looking forward to it. Hopefully making it sooner than rather than later.
Hello, and welcome to what I guess you might call a little Foot Weekly Easter egg for you. We've got a review of Prime R9. What I've managed to do is, after our little Champions League watching session, we watched the quarterfinal, saw Ronaldo kick very well.
Yeah, he did that bicycle thing.
That's really good.
Left Gigi Buffon stranded.
It was actually one of the cleanest bicycle kicks I've seen, I'd say.
Yeah, no. It reminded me a little bit of the that famous Rooney one against Man City, except he didn't shin it, and he was running at full pace the other direction, and it was just generally quite a lot better.
Yeah.
But there was one angle where it looked a lot like the Rooney one.
It was like almost more of a bicycle as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
More bicycle action. But anyway, we're here to talk about the other Ronaldo.
Yeah.
The fat one. Although this one is not quite so fat as the 94 rated Ronaldo, is he?
Yeah.
So what were your first impressions of the 96 Ronaldo?
So I did the SPC in a bit of a rush. I kind of just thought, fuck it, I'm going to do it. I know you've taken a slightly more tactical approach. I think you've done the icon baby icon SBC several times to save money on those. I just bought a bunch of icons, and so it will have cost me a fair bit more than it may end up costing you.
So one of my friends says, you big balls did.
Yeah. I think including untradables I used, he cost me about 2 mil, which is...
That's not that bad.
It's not terrible, and then maybe made 400k back from the packs. So actually not a terrible outlay overall.
Mm. And you had some pretty good legends to submit.
Icons. Well, I submitted Rui Costa, RIP, good servant to the club.
Can't finish for shit.
He actually had a pretty decent record for me. I had him with Hunter, gets him up to 85 finishing, but that's not the point of this review.
I used his loan and I just couldn't finish it. Yeah.
Let's get back on topic. R9, my initial impressions. He is a phenomenon. He's amazing. In terms of an out-and-out striker, I think the only player on the game at the moment that comes close is Team of the Year Ronaldo. And I think I said to you, CR7, obviously. I said to you, Ben, that I thought that 99 CR7 was a better overall player, but that R9 is the better striker. I think in a sentence, that's my comparison of the two. He's more than a poacher. He can do it all. He just doesn't have the kind of strength on the ball and the really... Like, he's unbelievably fast, but there's something about, I think, the custom animations that Cristiano Ronaldo has when he's running just mean he feels that bit faster. He will just make defenders look like they're running through treacle slightly more often than R9 does, at least in my experience. Your mileage may differ.
Yeah,
listeners.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I haven't used him for that many games, so I can't comment too much, but he does feel very agile on the ball. He's like ridiculously good at dribbling, as it were, but sometimes found that his maybe ball control wasn't quite as good as sort of the Messi and Ronaldo top rated items in the game.
Yeah, I think there could definitely be something in that. I think so I've been using him with the engine chem style, which means according to Foothead, he gets 99 dribbling with 96 agility, 95 balance, and 99 on reactions, ball control and dribbling. And he does feel incredibly agile, but I think it's something maybe to do with his body shape and possibly player weight means he's sometimes, yeah, it feels like he just takes a slightly heavier touch than you want.
But I mean, all in all, he's obviously the five-star skills, five-star weak foot. you're never going to have another striker this year.
Yeah, you can't beat the five-star skills, five-star weak foot. His shooting is unbelievable. He's dug me out of so many holes in champs. And I feel like I've been quite negative so far in this review.
Get the bad stuff out of the way first.
Stuff out of the way first, because with a player who's 96 rated, the expectations have to be sky high. Mm. And so I've just been trying to pick out the couple of downers with this card. Mm. Just to round off maybe the negatives. Stamina is an obvious one that a lot of people have highlighted. He's got 81. I've been playing him as a lone striker in a 4-2-3-1, and he's actually lasted games fine for me. Mm. He's not going to do quite as well in a 50-meter sprint from the halfway line if you're playing extra time, but very few players will. And I think the only other negative is his kind of strength and aggression. He doesn't feel quite that bullish.
It's interesting actually, because you're not boosting his strength, because you could do it if it was basic, I guess, and you still get...
I used him with basic for quite a while, which would put him up to 90 strength from his base 85. Mm. And since switching back to engine, I haven't noticed that much of a difference, to be honest. Mm. I think the boost to balance to take that up to 95 probably makes more of a difference than 90 strength and 85 balance.
Mm.
Personally, I'd rather have it the way around.
Yeah, yeah. A bit more pace as well.
Plus two on acceleration, sprint speed, always going to make a difference.
But it's interesting, at this kind of level, I don't know whether chemistry styles make too much of a difference, right? I mean,
you've probably
found that with Ronaldo, and I've actually found that even with Salah putting finisher or basic on him, it doesn't make a huge amount of difference when certain stats are so high anyway that you're not going to see too much of it.
Yeah, I think chem styles, the lower the base stat, the greater the percentage difference is from the chem style, because plus 15 on a 50 rated stat is obviously a much larger proportional difference than plus 15 on an 85 rated stat, though obviously you do max out an 85 rated stat.
Yeah,
just, which is nice.
Yeah, no, I think this is a really good point. So in terms of your overall effectiveness of a player who's going to cost most people in the region of 2 to 3 million, and they're not going to get another player this year like him, I'm kind of already committed to it in a way, but if you're talking to someone like me, would you say definitely get him if I'm going to have maybe a couple of mil for team of the season?
I think if you're sitting on a couple of mil and you've got nothing else in your club, no good untradeables, I probably wouldn't do him. Mm-hmm. Because I think you need something to build a team around, and
you're
just
gonna see
him,
so many good cards, aren't you?
So many good cards for a fraction of this price come team this season. You might feel sad to miss out on using such an iconic player, but at the moment, at least, when he's this expensive, I'd hold your coins. If you've got a good number of sort of high-rated untradeable cards in your club, and also maybe good untradeables that you're going to keep and use alongside him, and you love skilling particularly, then I would definitely do him. Also, if you're a fan of early noughties football, then do it, because this is the first time he's been in FIFA in years and years and years. Obviously, first time he's ever been in Ultimate Team. And I was just really excited to use him, having been like a little kid watching him in his peak years.
Mm.
An incredible haircut that obviously everyone wanted to have.
Although, to be fair, this haircut it's not on this card, is it?
This card is just a bit bald.
Yeah.
A bit bald and scary.
One thing it's just a little aside. I mean, it's disappointing that they didn't vary the look of all icons. So like Crespo's lowest rated card, for example, has a very different haircut to his on the card to his in-game haircut, and it's the same with the likes of Petit. In fact, Petit looks almost ridiculous. If you look at his card, he's this little little kind of almost a kid in the picture,
and then he's this massive stocky body
of a man with like long hair,
flowing mane of golden.
He's another player you've been enjoying, actually, just a little bit of
Petit. Yeah, I've been using his 88 rated CDM, because to be honest, the difference between that and the prime is pretty marginal. He's a really, really solid card, just plugging a gap.
He's kind of
in my midfield.
I mean, for the prize, I mean, he's gone down to like 400-500k on Xbox. I mean, that
Xbox.
It's a very good price for someone who I would argue is like almost pushing that kind of elite tier of player, actually.
Yeah, I would say on that, to get a kind of bonus extra review in this R9 review, he is a little sluggish on the ball. He can get caught in possession quite easily, and he misplaces passes more than I thought he would, given that he's got like high 80s for short and long passing.
Maybe it's more his ball control, vision. So his distribution then as a result isn't so good.
Yeah, I think it's more when I was trying to do kind of driven passes, driven ground passes with him, I would lose the ball much more than I'd expect. Mm. It may be because I've got him partnered with Pogba, who has really elite passing stats, and I just expect him to be able to do the same. That's my one negative on him. Defensively, he's phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah, he is really good. I've actually ended up getting his baby because of the, not his like actual baby in real life, you know what I mean,
Petit and love child chucker.
The base icon,
yeah.
That he has,
he's a left back,
he's a left back, yeah. So I've been getting, I got him in the base icon SBC because I was doing them for R9, and I've actually been using him and converting him to CDM, and it's like such a good move because actually that card, if you go and look at his stats, it's like a really really good CDM.
interesting.
He's got like 80 pace, got really really good defensive stats, he gets almost 99s in all of them with shadow, so he's a really good card, and he's still just as big and kind of tanky. Just feels slightly better on the ball actually because of his higher agility. So yeah, it's a little recommended. I mean, I'll probably only, I don't know whether he's not really worth buying because he's so expensive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel like
what, all icons, because of their submitting value for SBCs, those really cheap ones, unfortunately, are too expensive, which is kind of another issue that, to talk about another time. But Yeah.
I think I remember noticing that the two lower versions of Kluivert were pretty much the same price the other day, even though the 88 in terms of stats is arguably a better card.
Yeah.
Because neither of them as a card are worth the 350 to 400k that they cost by virtue of being an icon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Horace, thanks for stopping by to give us your thoughts. I'm sure that was very much appreciated by any listeners looking to do R9.
Yeah, always a pleasure. I hope I've not put people off. The fundamental line is he's won
everyone off. He'll be cheaper for me.
No, he's one of the best strikers you're going to use in this year.
Yeah, I mean, having used him very briefly, I'm excited to get him and use him regularly. Five star is the dream. To be honest, there's just not going to be a better player. You know, Neymar's team of the season is not going to have the strength and sort of shooting ability. I don't think that this card has.
Yeah, no, he is a phenomenon.
Good one.
Original.
And on that, we end this week's podcast. Thanks very much for joining us. As always, listeners, it's been great having you, and we look forward to having you again next week. Until next time, this has been the Foot Weekly Podcast. That has been Horace. I've been Ben, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.